Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. This is CBS Sports Radio, and you are locked into the JR Sport Brief show. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. I'm happy to be here with you for the next 3 hours. If you missed the first hour of the show, you missed a lot. We took some time to really break down the Russell Wilson situation. I'll update you. And then we still have quite a few callers here who want to get their thoughts on air. I'm going to pick up the phones in a minute. But also, later on this hour, we'll have a conversation with someone who won a World Series, someone who was an MVP. This man was a masher for the Philadelphia Phillies. His name? Ryan Howard. He will join us in about 40 minutes. I'll ask him about the game of baseball. I'll ask him about what David Ortiz said. The game has now gotten boring. And a few other questions. So Ryan Howard, former MVP, All-Star, he's coming up in 40 minutes. But just to continue on this Russell Wilson conversation, people are real hyped to talk about this because the cat is out the bag. We thought a few weeks ago post-Super Bowl, we thought that we got an inkling of his displeasure when he talked publicly with Dan Patrick about his involvement in personnel decisions. This is what Russ had to say.
For me personally, I think that I want to be able to be involved because at the end of the day, it's your legacy. It's your team's legacy. It's the guys you get to go into the huddle with. And at the end of the day, those guys, you got to trust. One of the reasons why Tom went to Tampa was because he felt like he could trust those guys and Bruce was going to give him an opportunity. I think for me, anytime you bring free agents in, you know, other players, you want the best players, guys who love the game. And so you kind of build that over time and get to see who can really play, you know, as a player, you really know. So I think that relationship's really key. And, you know, especially being a veteran player, you know, that dialogue is really important.
Are you involved in personnel decisions?
Not as much. I don't.
Do you want to be involved, Russ?
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps you to be involved more. But I think that dialogue should happen more often, in my opinion.
Well, we heard that from Russell a few weeks ago, right after the Super Bowl. Well, an article came out in The Athletic today, and it pretty much pushed it further. It gave more meat to what he had to say because in the course of the regular season, it was reported that he went in to a meeting in the middle of the week, tried to have some input, and they basically said, just kind of, we got this. And he allegedly left in a huff. He wasn't happy with the situation. We know the Seahawks still went 12-4. We also know they went into the playoffs and they got stomped out by the Rams. 30-20. We know that Russell did need that support, that throwing the ball out and airing it up looked great at the beginning of the season. He was like an MVP candidate for the first half of the year. And then teams figured them out. Russell wants a better offensive line. The team deserves a more consistent running game. The defense needs improvement. And so when you think about this situation, and by the way, Russell's agent says, he's not asking for a trade, but if he were to be traded, send him to the Saints, send him to the Raiders, the Bears, or to Dallas with the Cowboys. Oh, yeah, but he doesn't want to be traded. And this is all a matter of posturing. This is to put pressure on the organization. I don't think Russell Wilson is going anywhere this year. I think this is just putting them on notice. I am not happy. You need to make some changes. If you don't, you might regret it because you're going to have a rebuild. There is only one Russell Wilson walking around. And 3/4 of the teams out here, maybe more, would love to have Russell Wilson. So if I'm the Seahawks, I'm paying attention to what the hell he has to tell me right now. If I'm Pete Carroll, I don't know. He's probably on nap time right now. But if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm waking up and I am paying attention. I don't think this is on Russell Wilson. He ain't doing nothing wrong. The Seahawks and Pete Carroll need to wake up. Set the alarm. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. We got Mike. He's calling up from Baltimore. Mike, do you think management, do you think Pete Carroll, do they need to accept some responsibility? Do they need to listen?
Hey, so I think, Pete Carroll definitely has some blame in this. But I think when I think about the Seahawks, one of the things that sticks out to me is their front office, I feel like, hasn't drafted very well the last several years. They had several really head-scratching decisions on draft night where they're either drafting guys like way earlier than they should be. Like, as a Ravens fan calling from Baltimore, this past draft when they traded up to get ahead of Baltimore, everyone thought they were jumping to grab Patrick Queen, the linebacker out of LSU. Instead, they grabbed the kid out of Texas Tech that most people didn't think would be
Brooks, the linebacker.
Yeah, stuff like that. A few years back, they took Rashad Penny, who a lot of people didn't have pegged as a first-round pick. And I think that we're starting to see that is becoming a problem where, okay, if that happens one or two years, you can get away with it. But now it's been several years where they're doing this kind of thing, but they're not drafting impact players. And Russell Wilson's really the only thing keeping them afloat because they don't have many impact players when you look at the roster overall.
It's him, DK. You can look at KJ on the other side. You can look at Bobby Wagner, who just is just keep knocking folks out. But that's it. And then maybe Lockett. No, we know that they need to go ahead and fill out that roster. Mike, that's a great point out of Baltimore. That's why he's valuable. Because if Russell Wilson was not on that team, what'd they be? 4 wins? 5 wins? What's an average quarterback in the NFL? I don't know who's average. What? Let's put Jared Goff out there. What would Jared Goff do with the Seattle Seahawks? What'd they go? 8-8? Let's put someone who may be a tad below him out there. Let's put Nick Foles or, come on, let's stop it. Be thankful for what you got. It would be a disservice to the fan base in Seattle if Russell Wilson were removed or if Russell Wilson were to ask to move on. But he's dropping the seeds. He started filling in the blanks last year. Russell Wilson started hinting last year that he should want to do more. I mean, Schottenheimer's gone. They got a new coordinator. This is what Russell had to say last summer about whether or not if he should have the ball in his hands more.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I think the reality is that, early in the games, I want, definitely, rather than us having it be in the fourth quarter, I think to be able to, make some stuff happen. I think we have a crazy stat of the lead of, I think 56-0 when we have the lead, by halftime and stuff like that. I think, getting ahead is a key thing. I definitely believe in finishing strong. I think we've won a lot of games in the fourth quarter and, do some fun things in the fourth quarter and in the games. But, let's treat every quarter as the fourth, and I think that's kind of my mentality always. I think about basketball a lot, and just being able to score and make plays, but play, great, solid, efficient football. I think is the name of the game, and you want to be able to do it all, and I think we definitely can.
This has been a progression. He planted the seeds last offseason. They allowed him to throw it the beginning of the season. They didn't like the turnovers, didn't like the results, scaled it back, started to lose. Pete Carroll wanted some more balance. Right after the season, Russell says, "I wish I had more input. I'm actually the one out there." And here we are. They need to wake up. They don't get better without Russell Wilson. They get worse for years. Tim is calling from Virginia. Tim, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, how you doing tonight? You do a good job, so keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Tim. You want my Cash App?
No. But okay. I agree on some things you're saying here.
Oh, you ignore that. Okay.
No, I'm not ignoring that, but I just want to get to the point. You know, you're busy, but... A lot of these athletes today, they want to be the owner, coach, and player.
Oh, here we go.
And okay. It's not so easy to do that because if you go and just look at who owns the Seattle Seahawks, they got a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And they easily can replace Russell Wilson.
Whoa.
They can pay a lot of money.
Whoa. See, but that's that. But Tim, that's the point.
You got to remember, he doesn't own the team, and he's
but
Tom
Tim,
Brady.
But Tim, I know it's talking it's about not Tom no Brady. Tim. Wait, can we? I'd love to have a civil conversation. Can we do that?
Let me get my point in, and then you can talk.
No. How about no? It would have been a simple yes, and we would have had a whole lot of time here. I will make an ultimate point here. Because the Allen family, Paul Allen's family, because they own the Seahawks, they can just open up their wallet and get a replacement for Russell Wilson? And then Russell Wilson is not Tom Brady. You're right, he's not Tom Brady. There are a whole lot. They ain't nobody who's Tom Brady. Let's get that straight. You know what else there ain't? There ain't no other Russell Wilsons. They don't grow on trees. There aren't too many quarterbacks. Find me a quarterback right now, since you can just go ahead and spend a billionaire's money to get another Russell Wilson. Find me a quarterback who hasn't missed a game in 9 years. Find them for me. Find me a quarterback who does not have a losing record. Find him for me. Find me a quarterback who has a Super Bowl. Go do it. Find me a quarterback who's basically been squeaky clean. Find me a quarterback who's an advocate for the city, who actually invests into the community. Find him for me. Since it's so damn easy to just replace Russell Wilson. And you really got it backwards if you think that, oh, well, these players, they think it's so easy to be the owner and the general manager and the player. And I said this last hour, and if you didn't hear it last hour, I will gladly repeat it. There's 53 guys out there busting their ass. Generally speaking, there's probably only one, if that, maybe two players. Some teams don't have one guy who can get up and say, I want this. And the players who can, go get it. Because the teams ultimately, as you just said, the teams think, because they have all of the money, that they can just chew everybody up and spit them out. That's the mechanism of the machine. They can do that. They absolutely can. So if you have the power to not get taken advantage of, you go out there and let yourself be heard. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Keith, he's calling up from New Orleans. Keith, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
JR, man, thank you for taking my call as always. You know, I come to be true to power. First, I want to touch on a couple of things, if I may. I get so frustrated when, you know, people try to correlate, you know, working class principles with NFL and NBA. These guys are not employees. They are part of a union. They are partners with the NFL, you know. And the day you and I don't like the terms and conditions of our job, we have every right to quit. Those guys don't have every right to quit because why? They're on the contract. So they have to do other measures in order for their voices to be heard. Also, you know, the Russell Wilson has been the Febreze of Seattle. He has covered up all the stink that Pete Carroll and John Snyder has perpetuated because they have missed on draft pick after draft pick after draft pick. Outside DK Metcalf and Bobby Wagner, they have missed on everybody else for the most part. And Russell Wilson deserves better than what they've done to him. For the simple fact of they march out there with a makeshift offensive line. The guy's running for his life every Sunday. Every Sunday he's running for his life as a mobile quarterback. He's still one of the most sacked and hit quarterbacks.
And Keith, I want to move on. I got some other folks I need to hit on before we break. And this is it. Has never missed a game. I'll tell you the biggest thing that you said, Keith, and thank you for calling from NO. Beautiful point. Russell Wilson has been the Febreze for the Seahawks. Yeah, he's covered it up. Don is calling from San Diego. Don, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on this situation?
JR, let me tell you, I have so much I want to say, but I know I'm going to be short, all right? First of all, if you recognize the pattern that we're dealing with the NFL right now, with our quarterbacks and people that play quality games and they want to be heard, if you recognize that basically the company as a, the NFL and the company as the teams are basically saying, look, and it, I don't want it to be racial, but it's pretty bottom line. They're saying, look, we do not want the inmates to run the jailhouse. They are in a position right now where Russell Wilson, Watson, these are athletic running quarterbacks. They're okay with that. They want to spend money where they think they should spend money. They are not considering or willing to listen to the athletes that are performing for them because, yeah, they're the bosses or they're the coaches and they think that they might know better. Pete Carroll has a background in SoCal, and he's always been in that position to where he's had pretty decent players, pretty quality people that have been performing for him. His coaching staff is a little bit weak when it comes to clutch time. Clutch right. time, they have the hardest time.
Well, but Don, here's the thing, and I gotta fit one more caller in before I roll. Pete Carroll, he is on his way out the door. He ain't going to be coaching forever. And for a Russell Wilson who says he wants to play into his 40s, there's someone who has the leverage here in the situation. His name is Russell Wilson. Dave from Alabama. Quickly, Dave.
Hey, bro. Hey, JR, how's it going, man?
I'm good, Dave. Go ahead.
Listen, Pete Carroll, yeah, you're right. He's on his way out the door and take some brass knuckles to the back of his head. Also,
we don't want that.
Also, the thing about it is, I like Russell Wilson. I like his demeanor and everything like this. But then when you're going to get him beat up like that, look, either you put up, you shut up, or get hurt. That's it. Look, give the man what he wants. Let him have the influence that he has to do to make this team a contender. If not, I will get medieval on the coach, on that front office, until something is done.
Okay.
And when it's done, right. Hey, look, I will think of any maniacal, diabolical, homicidal effort okay. to make it happen.
All right. Okay, Dave. Okay, Dave. We are not advocates here for violence against anybody. Okay? We out here. Give you Pete Carroll might have to go, but give him a hug out the door. Ain't no brass knuckles on the back of his head. This is not the WWE, okay? No brass knucks. Leave that to Ric Flair or somebody else. Leave that alone. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. As I told you, I want to say in about 20 minutes from now, we'll have a conversation with Ryan Howard. You know, I want to ask him, since we want to talk about the business of sports, since we want to talk about owners and players and the power, I will ask him definitely about what took place, speaking of Seattle, with the Mariners earlier this week, where their CEO talked a whole lot of trash and had to step down. But before we do that, we'll take a break, and I have even more of a response to people who are so concerned with players having power. What's the problem? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And that's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with disagreeing with me. Makes sense when you do it, though. Please. A big shout out to super producer Stu Kovacs. You know, one of our last callers, I asked him, I said, can we have a civil conversation? He's just like, hey, like, can I finish? Okay, well, that I guess the answer is no then. Okay. Damn. We talked about Russell Wilson, and, you know, the point always goes back to right now, and FYI, don't go anywhere. In about, let's say, 15, 16 minutes, we'll have a conversation with former Major League Baseball superstar, MVP and all-star, home run leader, all that good stuff, Ryan Howard. I will definitely ask him about business. But more recently, when it comes down to athletes, we get so much about, wow, they signed a contract. They should just go play. Oh, my. Oh, we have too many players. They think they're their management. Like, this is something I'm trying to understand. Just even in a larger sense, what's it to you? Really? Why did there are a lot of folks who get so up in arms about a player, especially in the NFL? You know, if you want to say the NBA, okay, like James Harden, what he did leaving the Rockets, he was a jerk about it, okay? But in the NFL, where these guys don't have guarantees, where they got to suck up their money on signing bonuses because any Sunday they can go out there and it could all end, especially in the NFL. What's it to you that someone like Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson tries to utilize their own leverage to better their situation? This is the entertainment business. This ain't picking daisies. This ain't driving the school bus. Shout outs to everyone out there who drives the school bus. I hope we can get more school buses out back on the road sooner than later. But ain't nobody watching you drive the school bus. We're happy. Nobody's watching you drop off the mail. Nobody's watching you, you know, type away in the office. Nobody's watching you weld. Nobody's watching you, although we should. Well, we are watching you protect the community, but it ain't the entertainment business. It's not a billion-dollar business or entity where people tune in every single Sunday to watch you. But if you get hurt, you're done. You have to move on to that next space in life. And that's what NFL players are faced with. And there are only a few of them, a tiny fraction, who can even have a say-so at all. But we want to take that tiny fraction and we want to blow it up. We want to exacerbate it. We want to say, they're saying too much. Well, these quarterbacks think that they could just run around and be the owners now. They're getting a check. They should go play. So what is it? Is it tinged in ignorance? Is it tinged in unconscious racism? What is it tinged in? Why do you care? What does it matter? Don't you want to improve your situation? If you work for an entity, since that's a comparison a lot of people want to use, if you work for an organization and they can chew you up and spit you out, if you can have the leverage, don't you want to use it? If you can walk around with the sword, don't you want that to be the case? As it relates to Deshaun Watson, Andre Johnson had something to say actually last week. Super producer Stu Kovacs, we have that, right, Stu? Thank you. So Andre Johnson, he says he's encouraging Deshaun Watson to look out for himself because it's an example. Because Andre, when he was on the Texans, and by the way, he wasn't no damn quarterback. He was the wideout. He was catching passes from some scrubs sometimes. Hi, Sharp. And he says he should have been more selfish. Listen to Andre Johnson.
I mean, I've been around the organization for a long time. And,
yeah.
You know, I worked there last season. And just, you know, it's just certain things you see. And, you know, being able to be on that side of it, it's just certain things you see that you know that's not right. But the caliber of player that Deshaun is, I wouldn't want Deshaun to go through that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I went through those things myself with the organization. And I did it for 12 years. So, because sometimes people always ask me, they be like, what do you wish you can change different about your career? And I always tell them I wish I was a little bit more selfish.
Yeah, I wish I was a little bit more selfish. And that was Andre Johnson. Shout outs to Harry Douglas with his new show, pulling in the big names. What's up, Harry? What's wrong with that? Like, how do we need to rewind this? You know, I don't consider 30 years to be a long time ago. Do we need to rewind back towards, you know, the strike? Do we need to rewind? There was a time where the players had no say-so for where they went. There was no free agency where the players, like, what are we trying to do? Roll things back? What's wrong with progress? This is what the whole problem has been from the get-go, is that I sign you, your ass belongs to me for as long as I want you here because I'm paying you. Since we want this to apply, or we want sports to apply to the everyday Joe, where has that been okay? How about you sign and stick with one job and let them treat you like trash and not allow you to go to a competitor? How would that feel? It wouldn't feel too good, is it? Or would it? It's a different business. As one of our callers correctly pointed out, hey, they split the money almost right down the middle. Why should the owners have more influence? They got more of the money. You're right. They are writing the checks. But there is no product if it is not for the players. Ain't nothing wrong with being pro-business. Damn it, I'm pro-business. But you know what? I'm pro-person first. I'm pro-treat a human right first. I'm come correct first. Let's do good business. And let's not let people just run around and use their power and their money to be jerks. Because that's what we got a lot of people who do. I got the money. I'm paying you. I'm running this. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, Ryan Howard. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. On the line joining us right now, we have someone who's a World Series champion. We have someone who was a former MVP. We have someone who was a multiple-time All-Star. It's Masher. It's Ryan Howard. Ryan, how you doing, boss?
Hey, I'm doing well, doing very well.
I appreciate you. I'm good, man. I appreciate you taking the time to hop on. I know post-baseball, you've gotten into investment, community work. You are an author. What else you been up to overall since you put the bat down?
Oh, man. Well, being dad. And besides that, teaming back up with Major League Baseball and Scotts for the 2021 field refurbation project that they have going on. It was such a great thing. It's now in its sixth year, going out and refurbishing fields. So communities have the opportunity to apply. All they have to do is go to www.mlb.com/Scotts Field to nominate a field in their community to try to have it be refurbished, whether it's a baseball field or whether it's a softball field.
Look at you, man. You're away from the game, but you're not away from the game. You're out here giving back. Obviously, it's important that we have folks like you that are doing it. Do you think Major League Baseball has taken full advantage of its resources and given back? You know, every time you think about an upcoming baseball season, there's like a lot of negative connotations, like there might potentially be a strike next year or next season. What are your thoughts on how Major League Baseball presents itself overall to fans outside of what you're doing right now, which is great?
Well, I think there's always room to continue to give back and give more. You know, I think baseball, Major League Baseball is doing a great job. I think they're doing what they can do right now. I mean, again, we can always give more. Everybody can always try to give more and always try to help those in need and try to help better other people's situations. You know, being in a blessed situation that I've been, that's always been a part of my mantra and who I am, even from the days I was playing back in Philadelphia. So I think that Major League Baseball is trying to do the best that they can right now. I think they're going to continue. I think they're only going to continue to get better. And I think with input, you know, from people inside Major League Baseball, I think along with the players, it goes kind of hand in hand, being able to have those two kind of come together and try to do some things in uniformity.
Ryan Howard is here with us talking about Major League Baseball. That's a beautiful thing, what you're doing with Scotts to allow people to go out and have those fields refurbished. When you talk about your position and being blessed and having the opportunities that you've had, you know, here in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, Hank Aaron, Henry Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank, You know, he was a legend for what he did and how he carried himself. When you think about him and his legacy and what he left, and to be honest, I'm a huge baseball fan myself, but you're one of the few big African-American stars in recent memory that I could say I can hang my hat on. And this has been a few years. What do you think about Major League Baseball standing there and what Hank Aaron did to kind of push that forward?
Well, I think Hank Aaron, man, is in a class all his own. I think for what he did for the game, what he did for future black players coming behind, myself included. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere from without hearing about Hammer and Hank. To me, hands down, you got to look at his numbers. You can't say that he's not one of the top two, if not the best player to ever play the game. Just looking at his offense, his total offensive numbers, which are absolutely insane. So I think for him, you know, doing what he did on the baseball field, on the baseball diamond, is only a testament, a small testament of who he was as a man. And what he did off the field, as you mentioned before, in terms of what he would do, giving back, being, you know, an activist, always fighting for what's right and fighting for what's good.
Well, Ryan, he was a generation before you, even way before you got into the big leagues. He played in Atlanta and Milwaukee. You played in Philadelphia for the Phillies. What was that experience like in Philadelphia? We see the city, we understand and hear about the passion. What was that experience like for you, even though you did go out and win that World Series?
Oh, I mean, playing in Philly, you already knew you had to have some thick skin once you got into Philadelphia. I mean, it's you don't go in there blind and not knowing and understanding the passion of the fans. Yes, can they be hard on you? Absolutely. But they want you to do your best. They want you to be able to go out there and succeed. Is it fair? No, not all the time. But if you know that going in, you know, there's one of two things. You can either let it make you or let it break you. You know, you can either feed off of that energy or you can crumble under it. So, you know, to me, it's I knew what it was kind of going into Philadelphia. Obviously, the successful years that we've had there, the fans were amazing. I think it was one of the most energetic places I had ever been. The loudest place I had ever played during those postseason runs and whatnot. So I had a lot of fun there. The fans continue to show that passion. It's that brotherly love, man. At the end of the day, they still love you.
At the end of the day, they still love you. Ryan Howard is here with us, former Philly. You talk about that love. And when you think about right now what's going on in baseball, you see Fernando Tatis and his huge contract, 14 years and hundreds of millions. You look at a Gerrit Cole. There were times throughout your career people would point to you and say, hey, live up to the contract, live up to what you're doing here. What are your thoughts on where the salaries have now gone in Major League Baseball right now? They're going up and up and up, but then at the same time, baseball, the popularity from an age standpoint seems to be going in the other direction.
Well, I think that what has happened is it's all about trying to get guys in their peak years. And I think before, teams used to kind of look at players from their peak years. I think it was like somewhere in the neighborhood of like 27, 28 to 32, 33. But my mindset was like, well, why wouldn't your peak years be 20? You know, the younger you are, you just roll out of bed and you can play. So I think you start to see that trend where the teams and the players had started to get younger and younger and younger. I think it was what, 15 when there was a record of 20. I forget how many guys were in the All-Star game that were under the age of 25. So you could see that trend starting to go that direction to where you started to see more guys that were 19, 20, 21, 22 in the big leagues and starting to have more success in the big leagues to where, hey, if I can get a guy at 20, you know, 19, 20, 21, and I can run him all the way up to 34, 35 and grab 15 good years out of this kid, why not stretch it out? So I think that's where you start to see that age demographic start to come in. The numbers, man, the numbers are crazy. My contract in today's game is kind of like entry level. You know what I mean? So and seeing some of these contracts and what guys are getting now. But I think that the biggest thing is, when they get these contracts, yes, there's that expectation. But my biggest piece of advice to guys would be, you know, a guy like a Tatis and and all those other guys is you look at Mike Trout, right? Mike Trout's got $430 million contract. But what does Mike Trout need to do? Nothing. Mike Trout just needs to continue to go out and be Mike Trout. Just put up Mike Trout type numbers. You don't have to go. Mike Trout doesn't have to go and hit 50 homers or have to do this or do that. Like what he does on a regular basis is what he does. So for Tatis, it's just go out there and go be Fernando Tatis Jr. That's all you can do. You know, so you don't have to go above and beyond just because you got this huge contract. That doesn't mean you got to hit 50 or 60, which would be outstanding. But if you go out there and go post up normal, the numbers that you normally go post up, then people can't say anything.
Sure. Ryan Howard is here with us. Wise words for Fernando Tatis Jr. You talk about from the player's expectation and how teams have started to give contracts early. We're talking about 22, 23 years old. We still have that school of thought. And I mean, the CEO of the Mariners earlier this week pretty much embarrassed himself, embarrassed management by admitting, yeah, we're out here manipulating players for service time to take advantage of how much we have to pay them, how long we can control them. We know the players in Seattle are upset. We know Major League Baseball players are upset. What were your general feelings when you heard that?
It's a business first. And that's what I think people outside of baseball don't understand. They see the players, they see how much these players get made or that how much the players get paid. And it's one of those things to where it's like, dude, what are you complaining about? Like you just made X amount of millions of dollars. Well, the person that is signing off on that contract has a B in the beginning of their bank account. So they have billions of dollars. So what it's coming down to is understanding first and foremost, it's a business. And that's what it comes down to. The team, the organization is always going to look out for its best interest as well as the player needs to do that for themselves. So, I mean, it's not a surprise in terms of that kind of stuff where teams will look to try to manipulate, guys' time coming up or trying to potentially affect how they may get paid down the line because it's trying to keep that in the best interest of the team first and foremost.
Absolutely. Do you think knowing that everybody is going to look out for their best interest, are you afraid that we might have a delayed season next year or a potential strike knowing that there's so many issues?
I mean, you just never know. Again, it's going to be both sides having to come together and try to get this whole thing figured out. So hopefully you don't. Hopefully they can get things resolved and keep things in order and, keep things on track. But you just never know what's going to happen.
I hear that. Ryan Howard is joining us. His amazing work that he's doing with Scotts. One of my final questions for you here, Ryan, before we roll out, man, your MVP, you were a masher. I could pick up a video game years ago and go to work with you on the power side and perspective. You were one of the top power hitters in the game. David Ortiz is similar. He just said he doesn't dig that part. Like it's all home run or nothing right now. He said it's moving in a boring direction. What are your thoughts on how the game has adjusted or changed? Do you agree with his sentiment?
Well, I would agree a little bit with David in the sense to where it's like it's a lot more home runs, but you also have to look at it too because of the shift. Teams and players now are trying to lift balls and trying to get them up and the game has definitely changed, you know, since David and I were playing to where you had more situational hitting. You had more roles where your leadoff hitter was supposed to get on. Your second hole hitter was the hitter that could handle the bat to where if you put on a hit and run or a bunt situation to get the leadoff hitter over so that the 3, 4, 5 hole hitters had the opportunity to try to knock them in. Now you're putting something, you know, with the way the game is, teams are putting their best hitter in the 2 slot, you know? So before it was kind of like your best hitter would hit in the 3, 4 spot right in there, but now they're putting their best hitter in the 2 spot and going from there. So the game has changed in terms of hit and runs and trying to get a lot of different motion that a lot of that has to do with shifts in the analytics of the game right now. So, I mean, yeah, it's always exciting to see home runs, but when everybody is looking at trying to hit home runs, I think it does kind of change the dynamic of the game more so to speak, nowadays than it did back when we were playing.
Ryan, what's your outlook on those Phillies, man?
Man, look, it's about bullpen. They've always been a team that's been able to score runs. It's just they haven't been able to close out games, and that's been the thing. I mean, they've gotten some good starting pitching. You got Nola back. You got Wheeler back. You've got this situation now to where you've got Joe Girardi in there at the helm getting ready for his second year. I think he was a great pickup for the Phillies. I think he's the guy that's going to help. He and his staff are going to help get those guys' minds right. I think the biggest thing is them believing and shoring up their bullpen. I mean, you got Tony Watson, you got Archie Bradley in there. So see what happens. I mean, I like the Realmuto signing. I like the Didi Gregorius, who's a veteran guy who's been in postseasons, who just balls out. Kutch. So, I mean, you've got a great group of guys. It's just those guys coming together to believe, and it's going to be about their bullpen because that's what it's been about the last few years.
Yeah, that bullpen has been historically bad, unfortunately. Ryan, listen, man, you were out there on the field. You had the accomplishments. You got the World Series ring. You got it all. You're watching just like us. I appreciate everything that you're doing to give back in the community. Where can people find out more information about Scotts and potentially getting their own fields and their neighborhoods refurbished?
No, absolutely. All they got to do is go to www.mlb.com/Scotts Field to go check it out and apply.
Hey, big shout outs to Ryan Howard for joining us here. Appreciate the time, my man. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. More when we come back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.